Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019. Coming up this hour.
The UK picks a new prime minister to succeed Theresa May. We take you live to London for the latest.
President Trump and Congress reach a debt limit deal.
UBS posts its highest net income in almost a decade.
And Facebook and Amazon.com set records for lobbying.
The DOJ says Robert Mueller should stick to his public report when he testifies before Congress tomorrow, plus the huge protest in Puerto Rico. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, a possible ALCS preview when the Twin Cities goes wrong from the start, while the Jets make a flurry of roster moves.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And futures are rising this morning, 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 66, NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.05%, yield on the 2-year 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1%, or 8 cents at $56.30 a barrel, and COMEX gold down 0.6%, or $8.60 at $14.18.30 announced the euro, 1.1181 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in the UK, where in about 2 hours, we will learn the next prime minister. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing. Roger's with us live from Westminster. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Yes, in a couple of hours, the UK's Conservative Party will have announced who's won the vote of around 160,000 members to lead their party and therefore become Prime Minister. Here at Westminster, Boris Johnson, the former Mayor of London, is widely assumed to be the winner, although his rival, the Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, appeared to be picking up support during the contest as doubts emerged about Johnson's personal life and his mishandling of diplomatic issues. Whoever wins will face a massive in-tray, not only Brexit, but also an escalating crisis in the Persian Gulf after Iran seized a British tanker. Reporting live from Westminster, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you, and we'll check back in with you all morning. And another major story we're following for you comes in the U.S. Congressional leaders are pledging support for a critical debt and budget deal reached with President Trump last night. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports is aimed at averting another politically risky government shutdown.
This was a real compromise, as President Trump describes it, and indeed it allows for an overall $320 billion spending boost over 2 years. Now, that's $30 billion less, though, than Democrats wanted. The administration sought $150 billion in savings. It's getting about half that, which is enough to push the annual budget deficit to over $1 trillion next year, and therein lie the potential snags. On one side, you've got hardliners who basically want any spending increases balanced with commensurate cuts. They could balk about this, and progressive Democrats have insisted on higher spending levels. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thanks. Meanwhile, CEOs from 7 tech companies met at the White House to discuss the ban on the Chinese telecom equipment giant Huawei. We get more on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. The meeting marked another step toward easing a ban on sales to Huawei. Mr. Trump and senior administration officials met with CEOs from Google, Broadcom, Cisco, Intel, Micron Technology, Western Digital, and Qualcomm. It was called to inject a business perspective into the debate that has often been driven by an intelligence and national security community eager to see an outright ban on Huawei. Any easing of restrictions on Huawei is expected to be met with a resumption of Chinese purchases of U.S. soybeans and other agricultural commodities. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. In Asia, stocks were mostly higher amid thin trading volumes. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese shares led gains. The Nikkei 225 up almost 1% to close at 21,620 points in Tokyo. Chip equipment companies were amongst the best performers after Morgan Stanley lifted its outlook on the sector. Huawei suppliers in Asia also rose after President Trump met with tech firms on Monday to discuss easing the Huawei ban. Elsewhere, though, the exuberance for China's so-called star board faded, with just four of the 25 companies in the index closing in the black after a stellar debut Monday, which saw mammoth gains. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliette, thank you. On the earnings front, UBS saw a revival of fortunes in the second quarter. The Swiss bank posted its highest net income in also in almost a decade. UBS was helped by record profit at its wealth management business in the Americas. CEO Sergio Ermotti spoke with Bloomberg's Menes Krenny in Zurich.
If you look at the first quarter, we had very, weak first 2 months, and then into March things normalized. We saw a little bit of normalization coming into the first half of Q2.
And shares of UBS are up 2% this morning.
Shares of Banco Santander are rising after the Spanish bank posted its best results in years. We caught up earlier with Chief Financial Officer Jose Garcia Cantera.
Our businesses in North America and South America continue to perform extremely well. And while the charges relating to ongoing restructuring in Europe have impacted attributable profit, as we anticipated, we are already starting to see the value of these that these will create going forward, both through improved revenue growth and better efficiency.
And Santander shares are up more than 2.5%.
Here in the U.S., we get earnings from 30 companies in the S&P 500, and heading the list, Coca-Cola, Visa, United Technologies, Travelers, and Texas Instruments.
Facebook and Amazon set records for lobbying in the second quarter as Washington ramped up scrutiny of big technology companies. The world's largest social media site spent more than $4.1 million on lobbying. That was the most among big internet platforms. Facebook disclosed lobbying around blockchain, the technology that underlies cryptocurrencies. Of course, the company has been trying to win support for its Libra cryptocurrency.
And Apple may have found a way to reduce its reliance on Qualcomm's technology. Bloomberg has learned that the company is negotiating to buy Intel's struggling cellular modem unit. That would give Apple engineering talent and patents that would help it develop new devices to connect to the mobile internet. The company wants to reduce its reliance on buying parts from Qualcomm. And futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures are up 6 points. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Department of Justice has told former special counsel Robert Mueller he should stick to the public report when he testifies before Congress this week. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
That means remain within the boundaries of his already released report on President Donald Trump and the 2016 election. Responding to a request from Mueller for the department's guidance on his appearance at the two House hearings scheduled for tomorrow, the Justice Department said that Mueller should not discuss ongoing cases and that some details of his work may be covered by executive privilege. The outline calls for Mueller to offer an opening statement, and those remarks, we're told, have not been vetted by the DOJ. His testimony is expected to last 5 hours. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The political crisis in Puerto Rico has escalated. Many wonder how Governor Ricardo Rosello will be able to govern the U.S. territory amid the massive protests to oust him. Demonstrators say the release of hundreds of pages of sexist and homophobic chat messages from the governor isn't the only reason.
I am fed up with a thieving government. I am fed up with corruption. I am fed up with lack of integrity.
Yesterday, hundreds of thousands of protesters blocked a highway in San Juan calling for Rosello to quit. President Trump says he could win the war in Afghanistan in a week. Talking about the U.S. presence in Afghanistan, President Trump claims that he does not want to, quote, kill 10 million people.
I have plans on Afghanistan that if I wanted to win that war, Afghanistan would be wiped off the face of the earth. It would be gone. It would be over in literally in 10 days.
The president spoke during an Oval Office media availability with Pakistan's prime minister. Severe storms in the tri-state area left widespread flooding and power outages. In New Jersey, about 300,000 customers lost lights. Governor Phil Murphy says about 100,000 are in Monmouth County, and it could be several days before the power is restored. Venezuela's socialist government is blaming a nationwide blackout on an electromagnetic attack against the nation's hydroelectric system. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees have been looking forward to a showdown with first-place Minnesota for quite some time. This is not what they had in mind.
To third, out there, out at second, a triple play! Unbelievable!
Here it comes, just wonderful.
Fox Sports North on the call. First inning, a rarity in baseball. The triple play turned 5-4-3 as Edwin Encarnacion unable to leg it out. You couple that with five home runs, and the Twins beat the Yankees 8-6 at Target Field in the first of a three-game set. Yankees outhit the Twins 13-8, yet Minnesota got to CC Sabathia early, tagging him with six earned runs in four innings, including four long balls. Brett Gardner out of the lineup for the second night in a row. Series continues tonight at 8:10 with a great pitching matchup. 12-game winner Domingo Herman battles Kyle Gibson in search of his 10th win. Yankees lead the East by 9.5. Mets, they were idle, still feeling the sting of outscoring the Giants this weekend, yet losing 3 of 4 and 2 in walk-off fashion in extra innings, said skipper Mickey Callaway.
I think it's because we hadn't been scoring runs, you know, and when you can see it happening, like you're over, about to play extra innings again. We've already played a bunch of innings against these guys, and you know, I'm sure they're frustrated that we hadn't scored as many runs as we like.
Mets return to Citi Field tonight to host the Padres. Chris Paddock takes on Jason Vargas. The Mets do have a winning record at home. And in the NFL, the Jets have placed safety Marcus May with a shoulder injury on the active physically unable to perform list, also known as the PUP. And the Giants signed their first-round pick, quarterback Daniel Jones, with a signing bonus of $16.7 million. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Back to baseball, Rob, because the Chicago White Sox have become the first team in the major leagues to extend protective netting from foul pole to foul pole. The extra netting at Guaranteed Rate Field was in place for Chicago's first game after the All-Star break. The White Sox announced the safety measure last month, a week after a foul ball sent a woman to the hospital with her head bleeding. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we check in with BNY Mellon Chief Investment Strategist Alicia Levine as the earnings parade continues ahead of the Fed's next rate decision. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are rising alongside shares in Asia and U.S. stock index futures amid a busy week of corporate earnings and potential developments in trade negotiations. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, the S&P 500 up 7 points. Dow futures up 64, NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 5 cents at $56.27 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $8.30 at $14.1870 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1182 against the dollar. The British pound is adding to losses before the announcement of Prime Minister Theresa May's replacement. It's currently at 1.2426 against the dollar and the yen 108.20. Today we are watching for a report on existing home sales at a 10 o'clock Wall Street time. Also focused on earnings, Coca-Cola, Travelers, United Technologies. It's just some of the companies that are scheduled to report today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Former Special Counsel Robert Mueller has been sent a letter by the Justice Department giving him parameters to follow when he testifies tomorrow before two congressional committees. The Justice Department says Mueller must remain within the boundaries of his public report. The letter also says Mueller is not allowed to discuss his investigative steps or decisions. Prosecutors calling for the resignation of Puerto Rico's governor banged on buildings and started fires in the streets of San Juan after police fired tear gas trying to disperse the crowd. In baseball, the Yankees lost along with the Orioles and A's. The Red Sox won along with the Giants. The Nationals game was postponed. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this morning, Alicia Levine, Chief Investment Strategist at Bank of New York Mellon. Nice to have you on with us, Alicia, as we await the announcement of the next Conservative Party leader and by extension, the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. How should markets react to the change at the top in London?
Hi, Nathan. Good morning. Thanks for having me. So I think it looks like that Boris Johnson is the favorite. And to that extent, there shouldn't be too much of a reaction in markets either here or overseas in Europe or the UK. I mean, you do see pound sterling weakening a bit. And in fact, it's at its lowest level in the last couple of years, but because Boris Johnson clearly has said he is not afraid of a hard Brexit. And I think putting that back on the table actually puts the UK in a better negotiating position with Europe.
How so?
Because Theresa May said that she would not pursue a hard Brexit. So once you take away your extreme position, your opponent understands that you're not willing to fall off the cliff. And so that way, Europe had a much stronger bargaining position, and Theresa May could not hold her coalition together, nor could she hold the opposition towards negotiating with Europe. I think Boris Johnson will have a better chance of doing something with Europe.
All right, I want to take a look at the earnings picture so far. Very busy week for earnings in the U.S. How do you see things shaking out as we get deeper into the earnings parade?
So it's really been an interesting earnings season because we came in with expectations of the second quarter being really negative, a 3.5% total earnings growth for the second quarter year over year. And what we're seeing with about 25% of the S&P reporting is that actually not only are earnings and revenues coming in better than expected, but the beat is higher than the average. So I think we're going to get a more benign earnings season than expected. And certainly if we just look at the consumer data that's come out in the last few weeks, you know, the consumer is quite strong. And to the extent that the consumer drives 70% of the U.S. economy, it makes sense that earnings are better than expected.
So then do you see that being enough to break the major indices out of their range?
We should expect some sort of consolidation around here because you don't get a parabolic move most of the time. You get some, there's a lot of noise in the market, and there's a lot of fear that, in fact, the U.S. is softening. But with the Fed back on the table, the ECB back on the table, central banks everywhere are starting to ease, this should support the market. We see another leg higher from here, whether that comes next week or 4 weeks from now, it's too tactical to really call. But we see strength in the U.S. economy. The Fed is on investor side. And in the end, you can't fight the Fed. The Fed has investors back, and they've made clear that they have investors back.
Is it the Fed moving the market, or is it the market moving the Fed, do you think?
So that's a really great question because, a lot of people see the market as a taker of information, but it's also a giver of information. I think this Fed has made clear that it is willing to follow the market. That is, the market has already priced in 2 to 3 rate cuts for this year by inverting the curve and sending the signal to the Fed that it was too tight and that last hike in December created conditions that were too tight for the kind of inflation and economy we're in. And the Fed is willing to go there. I mean, the Fed has essentially not taken on market expectations, has not challenged it, and in effect has been following it. Now, over time, that could be a dangerous game. But right now, it's soothing to markets. And I do see 50 points cut by the end of the year.
Just 50 points?
Just 50 points by the end of the year. There's too much strength in the economy to really go more than that. But 50 points is when you think about where we were 6 months ago and where the FOMC was 6 months ago, that's actually an extraordinary change.
Alicia Levine, Chief Investment Strategist at Bank of New York Mellon. Got to leave it there for now, running against the clock, but always appreciate having your insights on this very busy morning here in the U.S. and across the pond, as we are just about less than 90 minutes from finding out who the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom will be. Will it be Boris Johnson? Will it be Jeremy Hunt? We will have that result for you this morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And as we take a look at the markets right now, they are pointing toward more gains. S&P futures up 6.5 points right now. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures up almost 21 points. European indices strongly higher as well. Stay with us for more. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it is 5:25 on Wall Street. Again, we are counting down to the announcement of the UK's Prime Minister. Stay with us for that and all the latest news in business, economics, and finance on this Tuesday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world as investors await a batch of earnings and the results of a key vote in the U.K. In just over an hour from now, the world will learn who will succeed Theresa May as prime minister. We get the very latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker.
The former mayor of London and Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson is widely expected to win against rival Jeremy Hunt after 160,000 Conservative Party members cast their ballots. But the flamboyant journalist and divisive politician may inherit nothing short of a mess. An economy on the brink of recession, a currency on the slide, no clear majority in Parliament, and Tory MPs in open revolt over Brexit and the pledge to leave the EU with or without an exit deal. In London, Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thanks. Here in the U.S., President Trump and Congress have averted the risk of a damaging payments default. They've agreed to suspend the debt ceiling and boost spending levels for 2 years.
The president also agreed to make timely decisions on whether American tech companies could resume sales to China's Huawei. That could move the U.S. and China closer to face-to-face talks on trade. The president met with a group of American tech CEOs.
We get earnings from 30 companies in the S&P 500 today, including four members of the Dow, Coca-Cola, Travelers, Visa, and United Technologies. We also get earnings from Texas Instruments, a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
TI management downplayed a strong recovery in chip demand during the first quarter earnings call, and forecasts for second quarter and 2019 sales have declined. But investors have driven the company's stock to the highest level in almost a decade. Bloomberg Intelligence says Texas Instruments may not see a V-shaped sales recovery because of weakness in autos and industrials. Analysts think TI will post an adjusted profit of $1.30 a share on revenue of nearly $3.6 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. In Europe, shares of UBS are up almost 2%. The Zurich-based lender posting its highest net income in also a decade, helped by wealth management profit in the Americas and earnings from the advisory business. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up about 7 points. Dow futures up 68. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.05%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $56.20 a barrel. The British pound is at 1.2434 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The Justice Department told former special counsel Robert Mueller that his public testimony should remain within the boundaries of his already released report on President Donald Trump and the 2016 election. Responding to a request from Mueller for the department's guidance on his appearance at two House hearings scheduled for tomorrow, the Justice Department said that Mueller should not discuss ongoing cases and that some details of his work may be covered by executive privilege. Meanwhile, President Trump was asked if he plans to watch the hearings.
No, I'm not going to be watching. Probably, maybe I'll see a little bit of it. I'm not going to be watching Mueller because you can't take all those bites out of the apple.
Hundreds of thousands of protesters in Puerto Rico filled a highway in San Juan, demanding that the governor step down. Governor Ricardo Rossello has resisted calls for his resignation. President Trump announced a bipartisan deal to suspend the U.S. debt ceiling and boost spending levels for 2 years. It caps weeks of frenzied negotiations that avert the risk of a damaging payments default. The Senate is expected to vote today to confirm a new permanent Secretary of Defense. Mark Esper has been serving as Secretary of the Army since 2017. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
He served honorably in combat during the Gulf War as an infantry officer with Kentucky's own 101st Airborne, the Screaming Eagles. Later, he obtained a master's degree from the Kennedy School at Harvard and a PhD from George Washington University.
Esper's confirmation is expected to sail through the Senate despite criticism about his previous work as a lobbyist for a defense company. Storms in the tri-state area have left tens of thousands of people without power and widespread flooding. This man who lives in Brooklyn saw cars floating in floodwaters.
It was shocking to me. I haven't seen water come up like that in this area ever.
In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy says more than 300,000 customers lost lights. About 100,000 of them are in Monmouth County because of a downed utility pole. Venezuela's government is blaming a nationwide blackout on an electromagnetic attack against the nation's hydroelectric system. The communications minister said authorities were working to restore service as quickly as possible. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. And Rob Buschka has the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees got a taste of their own medicine in Minnesota on Monday.
And 0-2 on the way. Hit high in the air, left field. That ball is going to be out of here. On an 0-2 hanger, Garber, a two-homer game.
Twins Radio, New York, a team known for smashing long balls, mainly in the Bronx, gave up 5 to Minnesota en route to an 8-6 loss at Target Field to open a 3-game set. New York out-hit Minnesota 13-8, yet C.C. Sabathia struggled on the mound, allowing 6 earned runs and 4 innings of work. The Night Guides started off on a dubious note when Minnesota turned their 13th triple play in franchise history in the first inning, a 5-4-3 variety to edge Edwin Encarnacion. D.J. LeMahieu went 3-for-4 batting leadoff, clubbing his 15th homer in a losing cause. Series rolls on tonight with Kyle Gibson hosting Domingo Herman at 8:10. Mets lost 3-4 in San Francisco, were walked off the field twice in extra innings over the weekend. They've returned home, though, and have a winning record of 23-19. They welcome San Diego tonight as outfielder Michael Conforto takes charge of their recent struggles.
Many, many opportunities to win games. A lot of opportunities with guys on. We got to hit better. Really what it comes down to is the bullpen has stepped up. They've done a good job for us over the last 7 games, and the hitters have let us down.
Jason Vargas looks to reach 500 while he hosts Chris Paddock, who's 6-4 with a 2.70 ERA. In gridiron news, Jets make a flurry of moves. Safeties Marcus May and Brandon Bryant have both been placed on the physically unable to perform list, and the Giants make it official, signing the number 6 overall pick, quarterback Daniel Jones. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan.
Thank you, Rob. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Fed Chair Jay Powell's Guide to Managing President Trump. Also in this week's issue, how legalized cannabis is boosting demand for hemp. Craig Giamona wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
When people say cannabis, if you're talking to sort of a weed person, they mean weed. Cannabis encompasses both hemp and marijuana. And for the last century, basically, both have been banned. Hemp is mainly used for fiber and textiles, but it got lumped in with marijuana and fell under prohibition. So there's been no legal economy here.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Taxes in Westchester County are going up again. Legislation enacted by New York Governor Andrew Cuomo will increase the county sales tax by 1 percentage point to 8.375% August 1st. That'll bring it in line with neighboring Rockland and Putnam counties, but about 2 percentage points higher than Connecticut. Failures at the century-old Hudson River Rail Tunnel and its companion, a New Jersey swing bridge, ate up about 2,000 hours of travel time over 5 years, according to a new study. It says on 85 days, glitches tied up rail travel for at least 5 hours. And a proposed New York City area rail tunnel will have a bi-state commission to accept potentially billions in federal funding. It's a response to objections from the Trump administration, blamed in part for delaying the project. The governors of New York and New Jersey signed legislation to create that commission. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on WTIC in Hartford, we're talking about quarterly results from United Technologies.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. TD Ameritrade CEO Tim Hockey is leaving the financial services company, surprising Wall Street.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the next British Prime Minister to succeed Theresa May amid a weakening economy and pound.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, U.S. corn crop conditions unexpectedly worsen.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford has been accused of falsifying tests related to fuel economy.
And some other stories we're following this morning. Investors can now bet on some of their favorite musicians. The performing rights organization CSAC is selling a $560 million bond backed by licensing agreements for artists like Adele and Bob Dylan. And Robinhood Markets has closed a new round of funding that values the company at $7.6 billion, an increase of 36% from a funding round last year. Robinhood became popular with millennials by allowing people to trade stocks for free on its mobile app. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, the problems facing the UK's next prime minister. We'll take a deep dive into that as we check in with Bloomberg Opinion.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are rising alongside shares in Asia and U.S. stock index futures amid a busy week of corporate earnings and potential developments in trade negotiations. The British pound is adding to losses before the announcement of Prime Minister Theresa May's replacement. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 7 points. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.05%, yield on the 2-year 1.82%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $56.24 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $7.90 to $14.19 an ounce. The euro 1.1179 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2443 and the yen 108.19. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, FBI Director Christopher Wray is set to appear before a Senate committee examining oversight of the Bureau. Today's hearing could be something of a preview of the intense questioning former special counsel Robert Mueller is likely to face when he appears before Congress the next day. The Justice Department told Mueller that his public testimony should remain within the boundaries of his already released report on President Trump and the 2016 election. Congress and President Trump have sealed a 2-year deal on the federal budget, ensuring no government shutdown or default until after the 2020 election. In baseball, the Yankees lost along with the Orioles and A's. The Red Sox won along with the Giants. The Nationals game was postponed. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor, joins us from our London bureau. Of course, London and the rest of the world waiting to hear who the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom will be. Frontrunner Boris Johnson, of course, and Therese Raphael writes this morning that not only will that next Prime Minister be facing Brexit, but another big foreign policy disaster, really.
Yeah, I mean, the entree is really quite substantial, leaving aside Brexit, because what I'm looking at here is the incidents that happened on Friday when Britain's Royal Navy, which was, of course, once a maritime force to be reckoned with, got caught off guard in the Strait of Hormuz when the Iranian Revolutionary Guard stormed the Stena Impero, a UK-flagged tanker. This really shouldn't have been a surprise. But Britain's lack of preparation is what's making the foreign policy nightmare here. And Raphael says that in dealing with the crisis, Johnson actually couldn't ask for a worse set of cards because his Conservative Party has a razor-thin governing majority. And that may well disappear if there are enough defections over his hardline Brexit stance. And lawmakers are already inclined to regard his statements with suspicion, given the series of pretty significant gaffes he committed as foreign secretary. He might have a friend in Donald Trump, but he should be under no illusions that the U.S. will grant him any favors concerning this incident with Iran without asking for something in return.
Yeah, you got to wonder just how many friends Boris Johnson might have left, considering that there is Brexit on the table. And I mean, can you really count on the European Union to have your back with that in the foreground?
It's not even just that there is the Brexit issue. It's Johnson's particular take on it, because he's determined to exit on October 31st, come what may. That is a promise that weakens EU security and threatens to plunge Ireland, which is Britain's neighbor and an EU member state, into a profound economic crisis. I mean, his Prime Minister Theresa May has kind of learned the hard way that non-members can't just plug into the EU security and defense policies in the same way that member states can. I mean, to see how this is actually working on the ground, it's an interesting point that the UK has been kicked off of the Galileo satellite program, which is the EU equivalent of a US GPS navigation system.
Wow. Now, is there a way that Johnson could actually use this crisis to his advantage?
Well, Raphael says he could, but you kind of have to wonder where his leverage is. I mean, Brexit was sold as not merely a way to escape EU regulations and control immigration, but it was hearkening back to Britain's global destiny, an era where the Royal Navy indeed ruled the waves. And now we're at a point where less than half of Britain's 19 destroyers and frigates are operational. I mean, the deterioration of the Royal Navy cannot be laid at Johnson's door, but the question is, can he reverse this? The problem here is that a crash-out no-deal Brexit would be the most costly of all options, and to win support, Johnson's promised a lot of handouts, including tax cuts for the relatively wealthy, so it's very hard to see how there will be enough money left over to boost this defense spending. So what Raphael says is a crisis with Iran shows up every weakness that Johnson inherits and also highlights some of the new ones that he brings to his job.
All right, now while we await that UK Prime Minister announcement, Leonid Brzezinski is taking a look at fragmentation in European governments and saying that maybe they're not that big a deal.
Yeah, because he's looking at the fact that he's in a survey of a couple of nations in Europe where there's been no government for quite some time. I mean, Belgium really leads the way. 525 days it went without a government. And he finds that there's a lot of interesting takeaways you can make about you can learn about stability here. The most recent example is Spain. It may finally get this week a government based on the results of its April 28th parliamentary election. If it doesn't, there's going to be a fourth election, perhaps, and that would be the fourth in as many years. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez won a plurality, his Socialist Party did, and he's been holding coalition talks. So it looks like there's an alliance that could be likely, but if he fails to form a government, Brzezinski says no economic cataclysm is likely to ensue.
Why is that? Just quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically because the stability you get from a civil service that's determined to do its job despite what happens in the upper reaches of government. I mean, you could take the U.S. as an example here. However much turnover there has been in the cabinet, the economy has really not skipped a beat.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always. You can read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A Netflix investor is suing the company over its loss of U.S. subscribers for the first time in 8 years. That followed a price increase. The federal government and the state of Tennessee have joined a whistleblower lawsuit. It charges a now-closed chain of pain clinics defrauded Medicare and Tennessee's Medicaid program of $25 million through unnecessary drug testing. And Tofurky, the brand of turkey-flavored tofu, is suing the state of Arkansas, charging a law that takes effect tomorrow restricting the labeling of plant-based meat alternatives abridges its First Amendment rights.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now, other legal news we're watching this morning. A federal judge ruling that the Trump administration can expand the sale of short-term health insurance policies that don't meet the standards of the Affordable Care Act, advancing the government's efforts to undo Obamacare. Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Washington and Lee School of Law professor Timothy Jost for more on the story.
Tim, explain why these short-term health insurance policies, explain what they are and why they don't meet the standards of Obamacare.
Yes, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act back in 1996 imposed some regulations on the individual health insurance market, but excluded what it referred to as short-term limited duration health plans. And when the ACA was adopted in 2010, it carried over the definition of individual health insurance coverage and thus implicitly that exclusion of these plans. The Obama administration in 2015, I believe, adopted a regulation that would limit them to 3 months non-renewable. And the Trump administration then last year expanded them so that they can now extend up to 364 days or at least less than a year and can be renewed for up to 3 years. And the reason for doing that, it explained, was to create an alternative to the individual health insurance market. And the plaintiffs in this case in the D.C. District Court sued claiming that that's exactly what Congress didn't want, that it wanted to get all of individual health insurance coverage into the ACA-compliant market with its consumer protections. So that's what the case was about.
Did the federal judge, Judge Richard Leon, base his ruling on the impact of these policies on the whole of Obamacare?
No. He simply held, and held it in a number of different ways, that the term short-term limited duration was not defined in the law, and therefore the Department of Health and Human Services could define it any way it wants to. And so he said that they had acted within their discretion in defining it in this way.
And that's Washington and Lee School of Law professor Timothy Joss speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com. For more information. And futures are higher this morning, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.